If you have your Bibles with you, please open to Luke chapter 2. I'll read verse 14. We will look tonight at the Gospel of Luke and see how Luke introduces to us the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ in his birth. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, we read the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let us pray for a blessing. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we ponder your word tonight, we pray that you'd fill us with an understanding of the glorious birth of Christ, that we would be transformed, renewed in our thinking, and brought closer to knowing you. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, this morning we looked at the Gospel of Matthew and we saw that Matthew introduces Jesus as Jesus the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, as our King who has come to save us, and our Shepherd as well, and as the Son of God. Tonight we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke and see Luke's perspective of Christ. And he gives us a different perspective of the same Christ. Nothing contradicts, but we see a different emphasis in Luke. Luke is a historian. You can see that in the book of Acts. He likes to see the witnesses, and he gives us the statements of the witnesses as well. And Luke's description really focuses on all the events that took place on Jesus' life. One of the things that is unique to Luke, and if you read the Gospel of Luke through, you'll find this. Luke loves to make pairs. Everything comes in two. So first he will describe the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, and then he will describe the birth of Christ, or the announcement of the birth of Christ. Then he will describe the birth of John the Baptist, and then he describes the birth of Christ. And so tonight we're going to see that as well, as Luke, even in his description of Jesus coming, he keeps describing it in pairs. And Luke is especially important and wonderful to us because Luke's focus is on Jesus as the perfect man, the Savior, the Son of God that has come to bring God to us and us to God. Luke reveals very personal things about Jesus Christ. He reveals his prayer life, the emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his humility. And so tonight we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to ask this question: what kind of man is born to Mary? What kind of man is Jesus? We're going to be looking at three snapshots, and the first of these snapshots is in Luke 1, 26 to 38. We're not going to read the whole passage, but we have read it tonight. And the snapshot I've entitled, "The Son of the Most High and the Son of David." Again, a pair. He is both the Son of the Most High and he is the Son of David. I'll read to you from Luke 1, 30 to 33. We read, "And the angel said to her," that is Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The angel really introduces Jesus Christ in an amazing way. Jesus will be called the Son of the Most High and the one who inherits the throne of his father David. This is what Luke does. He introduces Jesus as the royalty on heaven and the royalty on earth. He is both a supernatural descendant of God himself. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. And he is also the descendant of royalty on earth, of David's throne. And so our question in the first snapshot and the answer, what kind of man is this, is really this. Jesus Christ, the birth, the child and that we celebrate this evening, is royalty in heaven and royalty on earth. He is both the king over creation and the king in creation. He is both the king who created all things and the king who rules all his people. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one higher. He is the Son of God and the Son of the King who is forever, David. Now our second snapshot begins to zoom in on the Savior and the Messiah. And we're going to see another pair, and this one is very unique to Luke. He shows that Christ is both infinite majesty, he is glorious, he is awesome, and he is humble. He is not like anyone in our day. You don't walk into one of the throne rooms in our world if you have a nation with a king and just walk in and see a humble king. But Christ is both infinite in his majesty and approachable in his loving humility. Luke 2, 8 to 14 is what I'm referring to. We see this as the message comes to the shepherds. We read that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. You see that majesty, right? That majesty begins to shine through. Something awesome is here. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." What a wonderful display of Christ. Look at the humble king that Luke describes to us. He is a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. But not only that, the angel even says, "Unto you is born." He is born for your sake. This mighty king is humbly lying in a manger, approachable even to shepherds that were not welcomed by many in society. God says, "I will welcome you to the birth of my child, to help sinners." He is humbly dependent upon Mary and Joseph for protection, for food, and love. Beloved, Luke reveals the humanity of Christ in a wonderful way to show Christ's great humility to come to us. But that's not all that the shepherds heard and saw. They also say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." He's not only humble, he is also the Savior, the mighty one sent from God to deliver his people. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, the great one to whom the Israelites were waiting. The eternal King of Israel, the Lord, came in this world as a baby. Do you see the pair that is nowhere found in the rest of the world and all of history? In this world, we might see people in majesty, and when people have majesty, they feel above. They feel mighty. They want to be seen. They don't want to be seen in something as humbling as a baby lying in a manger. Luke is showing us the excellency of Christ that is found in no other place. Here is a king who is both humble and mighty, Lord of all, and willing to be born as a human child, the most helpless creature of all creation. Beloved, this is holy ground. This is a holy passage. Here is the Holy One lying in a manger. And what Luke is really saying is this, isn't it? Look at the shepherds. These were ordinary people like you and me. They were shepherds out in their field, going about their everyday life. They were not high up in society, kings that, of course, they are allowed to be first seeing Christ. No, these are normal people like you and me. They're invited to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of man is this? He is the King, yes. The Lord, yes. Mighty, yes. God Himself, yes. But He has come in humility so that people like you and me can come near to our Savior and be joined to God. He is both humble and mighty, and he is loving and able to save us. If you were here this morning, you may remember that picture that I showed to the children, of kind of a funny picture, of course, with three people hanging underneath each other, all hanging on to a rock. And I was asking the children, who do they need to save them? And together with the children, we discovered that they need somebody who is both strong and willing, loving, who is both mighty, able to pull them up, but also willing and loving and caring. Well, what we didn't see at that point is that somebody didn't just come towards the rock and help those people up. No, God came down from heaven to reach out his mighty arm and save humbled ones like you and me. One who need a humble Savior that can relate to our humble state, to our desperate need. Which brings me to the last passage, the last snapshot, which I've called the Savior for the Gentiles and Israel. It's in Luke 2, 29 to 32. Luke gives us a unique perspective on the reach of Jesus' life and ministry. And here are the words of Simeon, and I think you can see the pair again. We read in verse 29 from Luke 2, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word." It's about Simeon. "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." Listen to this. "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." Simeon describes Jesus as God's salvation for the world, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as Paul would later write. He wants us to see that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon looked forward and saw that this child, Jesus, did not only come for Israel, but for the Gentiles. Now, what is that, a light of revelation for the Gentiles? Now, maybe you're not very familiar with this language and you say, well, what's a Gentile? And what is a light for revelation? What is this referring to? Well, Gentiles is a word that describes everybody outside of Israel. You have God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament, and then you have the Gentiles, the outsiders. God would bring salvation to Israel, and so Israel was waiting for their salvation. And now this Israelite, Simeon, says, this Christ has been born as a light for the Gentiles, to bring the light beyond Israel and all the world, and for glory to Israel. This light that is revealed is like a flashlight that shines upon us by his coming of our need, and at the same time it reveals who he is. It brings us to the light. Us who were dwelling in darkness, who were running in our own ways, busy with our own lives, getting closer and closer to the end of our lives, wondering, groping in the darkness, trying to figure out, why do we exist? Why do we live? And why do I always do things that perhaps I don't want to do? Why am I always stuck in sins or addictions? Or why am I unkind to the people that I love? Why do I seem to live in a continued fog all my life? Why is there this mist around me when my life is so confusing? In the midst of that darkness, Christ comes to shine, the light of revelation. On the one hand, it reveals our own need of a Savior to save us even from ourselves, from our own hearts, from our own desires, from our own thoughts. It comes to cleanse us, to help us and to pull us out of the darkness of our own sin, out of our own addictions, of our own rebellion against God. But not only that, he is also the light of revelation of God's love and salvation. For as he shines the light on us and shows us how much we need a Savior, at the same time he shines the light that he is the Savior. So that he comes as the light to the Gentiles, to all men, and he comes to you personally, and he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will save you. I will save you from your sins of the past. I will save you from your rebellious heart, from all the vileness that you've done in the past. I will cleanse it all. And not only that, I will give you a seat in my home, at my table, as my child. Jesus came, beloved, to bring light to your life, to your heart, to let the light of God shine in your heart even tonight. For he became a Savior for all who call upon his name. What kind of man is this? This is the Son of the living God who has come to save sinners. All sinners who call upon his name. If you say, wow, but I've done so many things. I grew up with a knowledge about God. I grew up with knowing about Jesus Christ. But oh, if my people around me, even my own family members, even my own spouse, would know what is hiding in my closet, in my background, my family would reject me. But Christ will take you in. Christ will bring you in. Christ has come to be a light in the darkness, to help you out of your sin and place you into glorious, wonderful, righteous light. He will give you new robes, a new heart, a new mind. Do you see that? He is a light in the darkness. He doesn't just come like a police that catches a robber, but he takes them out from his robbing and places them in his own household, in eternal glory. He is the light of the Gentiles. Beloved, how should we respond to him? Well, Luke reveals that all those who understood who Jesus was responded in the same way. We don't have the time to read through all of it, but please do and listen to it tonight as you see these passages come by. They all responded in the same way with amazement and worship, with amazement and worship. And as he grew up, they responded, those who had an open heart and open ears responded with obedience to hear the voice of the Son of God. Now I wonder tonight, what about you? What about me? What about us? How do we respond? Is this just one Christmas after another? We've heard these songs. We enjoy the melody. We enjoy the cheerful message of the birth of Christ. Or does it reach deeper to us tonight? Do we begin to see that the songs about whom we sing actually reveal to us the Son of God? Do we see in the scriptures that we hear that God is speaking to us tonight, revealing him to us personally? Now you may say, I sit here with many people in this room, and that's true. But God is bringing these passages to bear upon your heart and mind personally. He wants to speak to you tonight. He wants to reveal Christ to your heart so that the light of God himself begins to shine in your heart and you begin to see the wonderful love of God who gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is why we're here tonight, to celebrate the birth of the Savior and a King who is going forth into all the world. And he is here tonight in his word calling you to be part of that wonderful kingdom of saved people through Christ that know the love of God because it has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you wonder tonight, well, how about my heart? How can that love of God really save me? How can I be cleansed from all my sins? Through what hoop should I jump, or how far should I run? Christ has come to us so that we might be saved. He has brought the message to us, and that message is the message of salvation. And all those who open their hearts and say, yes, Lord, me too. Wash me, cleanse me. I want to be saved by you. Save me, O Lord. Everyone who comes to Christ and responds in that way will be saved. for all those who believe on Christ will be saved. My prayer tonight and the prayer of those who read the scriptures is one and the same, that you would come to know the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy on earth, and heaven is what we long for. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would use the words tonight that are life and truth. Transform us, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that we might be transformed and be strengthened in Christ. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.